into sports.
20 yards out, Urch to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports. Ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.
Slightly shorter Wednesday Night Rugby than usual. We paid tribute to Gary Halpin in the first half hour of the show, but Keane Tracy of the Irish Independent is with us. Evening, Keane.
Hey, Joe. How are things?
Yeah, very well. How much can we avoid talking about the Irish attack in this segment, I wonder? My God, it's been non-stop. It's been 10 days plus whatever the previous 2 weeks of Irish attack, Irish attack, Irish attack. That is the theme this week. Give us your impressions of Mike Catt on Monday, I think it was, because he came out and I would think, without throwing it all on the players, he gave a fairly stern defence of what the coaching ticket were doing.
Yeah, he did. I was wondering how long it was going to take you to get to the attack. It really kind of is the talk of the town. I thought it was, like, of course he's going to come out and defend himself. You know, he was claiming that he's kind of hasn't been reading or listening to anything that's been said about him, but you'd have to take that with a pinch of salt. Yeah, look, I thought it was a strange move, to be honest, to put it back on the players. I mean, it's hard to doubt the skill level of the players when you see what they're producing most weeks with their provinces. I know you've spoken about it at length as well, but certain instances in the game, within Ireland's game plan at the moment, don't strike me as something that are down to individuals making mistakes. They look like system errors. Now, whether that's down to confusion between what's being asked of them or that they're not comfortable in it, I'm not sure. But Andy Farrell, I suppose the 2 week gap to the Italy game has left a lot of airtime, I guess, to fill. And Andy Farrell took a similar approach, to be fair, last week as well, when he was up and saying that, you know, it was kind of on the players to make better decisions. But I suppose it's all well and good saying that, but what system are they in to allow them to make those decisions? I know the Billy Burns one early on in the France game is the one that everyone's talking about, but like, that's a glaring issue for me, especially for a player who, you know, wouldn't be exactly renowned as a kicking 10. So, yeah, it's definitely been a shift in putting it back onto the players. Now, in fairness, the players do look like they are playing for the coach. Like, there's nothing about that at all. But I think the most frustrating thing, apart from the way Ireland are playing in terms of the discussion around it, is, like, and I'm probably guilty of it as well, like, we're still talking about this as if this is a brand new coaching staff. I mean, I think they've had 11 games in charge now, but yet we're still kind of talking about it as if they're just in the door. And that, to me, is the biggest concern. You know, you look at players like James Lowe, and, you know, I know he's had his issues defensively, but a lot of the talk around James Lowe has been, oh, it's great that James Lowe has come in and he's given Ireland a kicking option. But the way I see Test rugby going is that kicking has become very important, but it's not about like kicking the letter off the ball, like 50 meters down the pitch. It's more intricate kicking, which Lowe isn't doing. So I find it a bit strange that Ireland have this kind of potent new attacking weapon who, like, of course he's making a big step up from Leinster, and he's not able to bully players maybe that he's able to do week in, week out with the Pro 14. But I just find it strange that a lot of the talk around him in particular has been that, oh, it's great that he's got a big boot. Like, Ireland should be getting much more out of this guy than just his big boot. So that's probably a long-winded answer, Joe, to say that I find the attack under Mike Catt, like, hugely underwhelming. I think, you know, we were treated under Joe Schmidt. I know it wasn't always the fanciest rugby, but you had these intricate set-piece plays that when you strip that back and you don't have them at the moment, there's not much else there to go on. And like I said, Ireland kind of sleepwalk into the last World Cup, and like, that's what kind of, you know, was their undoing, that they didn't adapt to the way everyone else was adapting in terms of their game plan. But you look at it now, they still seem like they're stuck in what they were doing 2 years ago, and they haven't adapted at all again. So it's hard to see where they're going, really.
Yeah. My cat, by the way, if you missed it, he said on Monday when he was asked about the lack of tries, you have to nail what you create. We've been disappointed with the finishing, but the players have got to get that right for the weekend. It's a decision-based game. We're happy with what we're creating. It's the final pass or decision. We didn't do that well enough against France. These are all the things that the players will have to get right for the weekend. I mean, it's just a degree of, listen, we're setting them up and it's just, they got to get this right. So it wasn't as blatantly maybe as I'm suggesting, but it was just notable. It was just a degree of, hang on here, players have to take
I agree with you, Joe. I agree. I don't think it was done. You know, he kind of knew what he was doing going in there. And like, I do have an element of sympathy. Like there are some times where like players have to take responsibility as well. And to be fair, they have, but like I said, it's the system that they're playing and doesn't fill me with a huge amount of confidence anyway.
A few other little bits going on. Ian Henderson's been given an updated contract, so I guess it's good that the contracts are starting to happen. He'll be at Ulster until the summer of 2023. He's now 29, Henderson. I still think of him as a 24-year-old. I don't know what it is. So he's 29, he has 60 caps, he's 100 Ulster appearances. I still feel with Henderson, probably unfairly, because I know his form has been very good of late, but there was such promise about him off the back of that Lions tour in 17. There was a sense that, wow, world-class times ahead. It probably is unfair to say he hasn't hit that. Maybe he hasn't fully hit it. What's your sense of Henderson? He's 29 now.
Yeah, no, I do agree with you to a certain extent. I think the problem, to be fair with him, has been consistency, and a lot of that maybe has been down to injuries, you know, even over the last year. Mm. You look at the knocks he's picked up. Like, the most frustrating thing about him is everyone knows how good he is. You see that every time he's played. He's become like a very important player for Ireland now. He's part of the, I think, the six-man leadership group. You know, obviously he captained Ireland against France last week. He's a very, very important player. He's taken on the line-out calling. I know James Ryan is doing a bit of that as well. And I think he's really kind of grown in terms of his leadership. He was up for media today after they announced his contract. And like, he's just a very good talker. He's a very kind of calm. He's very assured. Like, I could see him being a potential future Ireland captain, to be honest with you. I know everyone's kind of talking about, you know, James Ryan and stuff, but it was telling that I know James Ryan didn't feature in that France game, but I think Henderson taking over the Ulster captaincy from Rory Best after the 29 World Cup, maybe he goes under the radar in terms of, you know, that overall discussion about who will eventually take over from Johnny Sexton, which I'm sure we'll get onto, like, might be sooner than many of us think. But yeah, look, I agree. I think his problem is consistency, but to be fair, since he's come back from his latest knee injury, like, he has this knack of being able to recover from injuries like super quick and actually been able to hit the ground running. I think he's been very, very good, to be fair, since he's come back. So yeah, like, it's interesting. His contract takes him up to the summer 2023, like you said, so it doesn't actually bring him up to the World Cup. So you'll have to get another little extension there onto it to make sure he's involved. But he was saying today, like, he didn't really consider moving abroad. And like you mentioned, I think this will be the first of the kind of big Ireland players, for want of a better term. I think you're going to see several more of them announced over the coming days and weeks.
Yeah. We'll just give you a flavour of Henderson talking today. So he's talking about his two-year contract and also Paul O'Connell's impact. Have a listen.
I think I mentioned this the last time someone was chatting about Paulie. Paulie hasn't came in and tried to reinvent anything. He hasn't tried to take everything away of what we had learnt before. What he has done is has let us continue to work with what we were doing and adding small tweaks to make us better and better, session by session, adding bits of detail that we might be missing, ensuring that we are getting as consistent a line out as possible for be it the hookers, the jumpers, and the lifters, to make sure that ultimately we can have a smoother week running into the game as possible. And the same with Foggs. Foggs has been incredible with sort of the insight that he's brought into the scrum. And again, he's making the scrum feel not only about front row, but it's about the eight players that are in the scrum. Because very often what can happen in scrum meetings is it happens in front rows, just sit and talk more or less in a different language than everyone else. And as a second rows, we just stick our heads in and push. Whereas Foggs has brought a whole new dimension to it, if you like, and was really encapsulating the eight as one, I suppose, as he likes to put it, to ensure that we're getting those performances throughout the week, building for the weekend, the same as the lineout.
Ian Henderson there. very charming, very likeable fella, very open, speaking in a nice relaxed way. And what jumps out at you there, Keane, is 0 for 2 in the Six Nations. They would have every reason to be feeling miserable and bristling and eyes down and grunting answers. And they're not like that. So that's a good sign.
Yeah, for sure. And that's what I mean about him being a potential future Ireland captain. He's a very steady hand. He's the kind of guy, you know, when the chips are down, you can imagine the IRFU are happy for him to go out and talk to the likes of you and me. It's interesting to hear him talk about Paul O'Connell there, because, you know, when Paul O'Connell came in, so much of the talk was around, oh, like what he can do for James Ryan and Ryan Baird and these young guys who are coming through. But I really think that Paul O'Connell could have a huge impact on someone like Ian Henderson. Mm. Just to go back to the earlier point that we were making in terms of that, like, consistency. And like, you see Henderson, like he has an edge about him. And I think O'Connell could possibly be the one to get that out of him on a more consistent basis, really. And yeah, like I said, he does sometimes frustrate because he doesn't deliver like what you know he can, but like, he's so well regarded by the players. And you can, like you said, you can hear it there. It's easy to have the chips down, but he's, yeah, really assured in everything he does.
So Johnny Sexton, I mean, geez, if Irish attack Johnny Sexton, there's not a rugby segment allowed to happen without those two things being discussed. I mean, just once. So Johnny made headlines, I think it was yesterday, it's hard to keep track of all the days, when he said, I might not be part of the full cycle, as in the full World Cup cycle, but this group will definitely be better for the type of coaching and structures we're having. So this was, you know, with Johnny, it's always headline news, and it's, well, Johnny may not, you know, admits for first time he may not be around for the World Cup. He has since clarified those comments, which is the reason I'm bringing it up again. So he was saying, well, what was I going to say? That I'm guaranteed to be at the next World Cup at my age, is what he said. Sorry, it was just a throwaway comment in terms of talking about the World Cup and cycles and the journey this coaching group are going on. All I said was this World Cup cycle would stand to us in the way we're trying to develop. Obviously, I don't have a 3-year contract. It's season by season, so it was nothing really. So Sexton has clarified, I guess, his worry that the reporting may have suggested that Johnny had said in a very firm way, I'm out of here pretty soon.
Yeah, so like what happened was he had said that he wouldn't be around for the full cycle in, we'll say, the broadcast and the live section. And then the cameras got switched off and he did the section with the print journalists. And obviously it was brought up, you know, because the thing about when he said he wouldn't be around for the full World Cup cycle, it was said totally unprompted. It wasn't a question about that whatsoever. So naturally enough, you know, he was asked in the print section, well, you know, kind of is an unusual time to be thinking like that. And he got a bit, like, I won't say chippy, but I think when he heard it back, he maybe realized what he'd said. Yeah. And it might have come out not the way he wanted. But
yeah,
I don't know, like Johnny Sexton has done a lot of media over the last few weeks, obviously as Ireland captain. And I don't know if it's just me, but I can certainly sense a change in his demeanor in terms of how he's talking about the future and stuff. I don't know if that's down to, you know, what's going on behind the scenes in terms of the contract discussions with the IRFU. From what I understand, he's going to sign a new 1-year deal, which isn't unusual, I guess, for someone of his age. Mm. But I think there's definitely been a shift in, like, he was the one talking about, you know, the comparisons with Tom Brady and stuff. And I think he's kind of eased off on that a little bit. You know, he kind of made a joke yesterday that he's waiting to see if Leinster still want to keep him around next season, because in case you didn't know, they've got a lot of good young tens coming through. So like, he's not immune to what the conversations that are having. And yeah, like, you do feel an element of sympathy for him. Like, every time he's up, he's probably being asked about it. But the funny thing was, yesterday he brought it up himself. So, right. Like I said, I don't know if that's down to a bit of frustration. Maybe perhaps he was looking for a 2-year contract from the IRFU. I'm obviously not aware of that, but it sounds like he'll sign a 1-year deal. But that doesn't mean, you know, come next summer, but it's summer of 2022, by the time that the next contract is up, that, you know, we could still be in the same situation and it could be extended again. And I think that's maybe why he rolled back on a little bit, just to make sure he left the door open.
I think, you know, for his sake and everyone's sake, I think that's the easiest way to do it. Just, I'm taking it 1 year at a time at this stage. I've got 1 year left and we'll see at the end of the season. Because I think the 2023 announcement, you know, all of a sudden he started doing the maths. And so it became a constant thing. Are you really going to be around at that age? And, you know, and equally, you don't want to announce this is my last year and then have every bloody thing you do the last time you do it. And that kind of circus as well. So I suspect he'll go with the I'm taking each year as it comes approach for the time being. As for the weekend and Italy, What are you looking for here? I mean, you're on a hiding to nothing with the Italians. They've been better than maybe some of the score lines over the last couple of weeks suggest. You know, their attack looks decent. But Ireland won't get much credit for beating them by 40 points either. So it's always, when the championship is not going well, the Italy game is always a tricky one to win many plaudits over.
Yeah, it is. And like, I mean, a lot's been made of, I suppose, like how Italy are playing under Franco Smith. And there's no doubt they've improved, you know, in terms of what they're trying to do in attack. You see their average age of their team has gone way down. You can see they're really building something. But like, when you pair it all back, I mean, I think they've conceded 91 points in two games. Like, they're still leaking tries at an alarming rate. You look at the form of Zebre and Treviso, who've fallen off a cliff in the Pro 14. They haven't won a game all season. So, like, these players are, like, really stuck in a losing rut. And while it's all well and good that they might be making slight improvements in attack, they're going to offer up chances in defence. And I suppose what I'm looking to see is, like, are Ireland actually, you know, do they have a clinical edge about them that they can take advantage? I think you're right. Like, it is a hiding to nothing. If Ireland put 40 points on Italy at the week, everyone goes, it's only Italy. Yeah. But, like, we need to see more of what they're about. I believe it's going to be a pretty strong team that's going to be named by Andy Farrell tomorrow. I know, like, a lot's been made of that as well. But, like, his back is against the wall here. And, you know, like we spoke about at the start of the chat, like, himself and Mike Cadd have put a lot back on the players here. So if they're going with a pretty strong team, which I believe they are, then, you know, the players are going to have to deliver. If you're talking about having, you know, Johnny Sexton back and Conor Murray, like, this is going to be as close to full strength as, you know, as he wants. So I think we need to see some more creativity. Like, I mean, if it doesn't come off, then, like, okay, you take fair enough. But just to see a bit of intent and a bit of thinking outside the box, because you look at the scores that Italy are, England and France have put on Italy in the first two rounds, there's no reason why Ireland shouldn't be doing the same, particularly when you look at the firepower they've got in their team. So yeah, like a victory, it goes without saying, you'd be hoping for a victory, but we need to see a little bit more creativity, I think.
Yeah. France-Scotland goes ahead, we should say. And if you weren't listening earlier and you're just tuning in, we did pay tribute to Gary Halpin. We had Nick Popwell, Mick Galway and Keith Wood on. So you can listen back to that on podcast or on our social channels. There is a text in, a lovely text actually. Lads, I was a 20-year-old lanky, half second row, half prop, thrown in at the deep end against Gary Halpin in a pre-season game in Skerries. He was playing for Blackrock. To this day, I fully believe he took one look at me and decided to cut me a break. He was towards the end of his career, and I believe the decency in him thought, why torture this young lad? Legend, RIP Gary, is lovely. text in. I saw you tweeting about him as well.
Yeah, like, to be honest, like, I kind of vague memories of seeing him playing. Would have been kind of a generation maybe before me, but I mean, I was listening to the chat with the lads you had on earlier, and you know, you'd almost regret not having had a chance to spend time in his company. Like, he just, and I saw the clip that you guys had from the road show as well. He just seemed like an absolute character. And, you know, it is very, very sad. It seems almost strange to be sitting here talking about rugby going ahead this weekend when something so sad has happened. But yeah, just my condolences to all his friends and family as well. It's really, really shocking news.
Yeah, we'd echo all that. Listen, Keane, thanks so much. We'll be keeping an eye on the work in the Irish Independent. Thank you.
Cheers, Joe.
Keane Tracy there with us on slightly shortened Wednesday night rugby for obvious reasons. This evening, Manchester City are 1-0 up away to Borussia Mönchengladbach after 40 minutes. Atalanta 0, Real Madrid 0 in the other game. I'll check the score for you in the City game. Bernardo Silva with the goal for Man City. So Man City 1-0 up away to Mönchengladbach. Nil all between Atalanta and Real Madrid. 40 minutes on the clock in both those games.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.